From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko, and these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
When you're picking memorable moments in classic movies, it's amazing how many of them are in films by Billy Wilder.
Are we dressing for dinner?
In the apartment.
You know, just come as you are.
The scene where bachelor Jack Lemmon makes spaghetti for Shirley MacLaine using a tennis racket as a strainer.
So you're pretty good with that racket.
You should see my backhand.
In Some Like It Hot, on a train, when Marilyn Monroe is in the upper berth.
Dolores, do you still have that bottle of vermouth?
Sharing secrets and cocktails with Jack Lemmon and friends in an all-girl band.
We've got bourbon. We can make Manhattan.
In Double Indemnity.
If you wait till I put something on, I'll be right down.
When murderess Barbara Stanwyck walks down the stairs in an anklet to meet insurance man Fred McMurray.
It's a honey of an anklet you're wearing, Mr. Diedrichson.
Or in Sunset Boulevard.
Norma Desmond.
Just about any scene at all.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Not that these were just isolated scenes. Every minute of those films was distinctively Wilder, beautifully written, tightly structured, and a peculiar mixture of wickedly funny and very, very dark. This was Wilder's gift. His films almost always did at least two things at once. Wilder's fruitful collaborations with writers had helped with that double edge he was able to create. But it was after the great success of Sunset Boulevard in 1950 that Billy Wilder felt maybe he could do without his longtime writing partner, Charles Brackett.
Billy Wilder wanted to go out on his own and walked into the office one day and said, "Charlie, you know, I think maybe we shouldn't work together anymore." And Brackett was devastated.
Ed Sykoff is the author of On Sunset Boulevard, a biography of Wilder.
As much as they had been known for their fighting and their constant arguments and throwing telephone books at each other, they got along with one another very, very well.
It was the chemistry of opposites. Brackett was a genteel fellow, a Harvard man, a New Yorker writer.
Wilder was a wild man, foreigner. English was not his first language, nor was it his second language. It was his third. He was fiery-tempered, sarcastic, mean, in a way that Brackett, the gentleman, never was.
So Wilder broke ties with Brackett and set about making one of the most bitter, cynical films Hollywood had or has ever seen. Ace in the Hole, a movie in which a journalist, down on his luck, prolongs a tragedy to further his own career.
I've only one chance to get back where I belong. Land a job on a small-town paper like yours and wait and hope and pray for something big to break. One good beat, a Tatum special, they'll roll out the red carpet.
Ace in the Hole was inspired by two real-life events that captured the public's imagination. The Floyd Collins case in the 20s, in which a man was trapped in a cave, and a later case in the 40s, in which a young girl, Kathy Fiscus, was trapped inside a well. On both occasions, the country became obsessed with following the drama of these events, both of which ended tragically in the deaths of the trapped victims. In Ace in the Hole, 1951, it is the journalist, played by Kirk Douglas, who leads the way to making sure everyone knows all about Leo Minosa, stuck in a collapsing cave with his legs pinned under a ton of rock. The journalist befriends the victim.
Everybody wants to see how you look. And I'm going to write a story. They want to know all about you. They'll be pulling for you.
How do you like that? Me in a paper.
And then he proceeds to exploit the tragedy from every angle, even going so far as to propose a slower rescue strategy.
Suppose we set up a drill on top of the mountain and go straight down. Cut through all that rock. Do you know how long that would take?
He wheels, deals, and taunts Minosa's bored, hardened wife, played by Jan Sterling, who recognizes all of our hero's worst instincts.
I met a lot of hard-boiled eggs in my life. But you, you're 20 minutes.
There is barely a redeeming character.
A friend of mine pointed out to me that Billy Wilder was the only Hollywood director who had his whole family die in the Holocaust. And yet, Wilder has never dealt with that subject directly. He's dealt with it indirectly.
Film critic and author Andrew Saras. Sarris taught a whole summer-long course in Billy Wilder.
Ace in the Hole was much harsher than any of the others. It has a kind of integrity, a kind of strength. It's pure Wilder, but it's Wilder without the hope.
Even with all that, though, the film does have one of those aforementioned classic Billy Wilder moments when the Kirk Douglas character, the ruthless journalist, suggests to the supposedly devastated wife, Jan Sterling, that while she waits to see if her husband will live or die, it might look better to the public if she were a little more religious.
Look, Mrs. Minoza, they're having a rosary at that little church this evening. I want you to be there.
I don't go to church. Kneeling bags my nylons.
That's one of my favorite lines of old times.
Kneeling bags my nylons. That's a great line. That's just a hysterically funny line, but it's one of the few really laugh-out-loud lines in the movie.
Tatum is now approaching the entrance to the cliff, willing to start another one of his perilous journeys into the underground mazes of this dread.
By the end of the film, the seeds of exploitation planted by the journalist Chuck Tatum have spread, and a whole town, a whole industry, has grown up around Leo Minoza's misfortune.
We're coming, Leo.
Ace in the Hole was a flop, a disaster for Billy Wilder in 1951. The studio thought maybe it was the title, so they changed it to The Big Carnival, and it was still a flop.
I think Wilder didn't understand the depth of the conservative culture in which he was operating, that he would attack journalism and politicians and the American public with such abandon. You have to remember, this is in the middle of the Cold War, so the film really bombed.
Since then, the film, which is unavailable for rent or purchase in any format at the moment, apparently due to rights issues, has, by reputation, gathered steam. It is said to be a favorite of Woody Allen's. Spike Lee, some years ago, talked about doing a remake of it. People are clamoring for it, in this era at least. Said Wilder near the end of his life, they never gave it a chance. I guess times have changed.
Movies are incredibly dark today, so this one looks fairly civilized.
Maybe the time for Ace in the Hole is now. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.